Last Sunday during the sermon, I gave you homework. Do you remember? Oh boy. That sinking feeling when you arrive in class and you forgot to do your homework. I encourage you to read on in Luke chapter 6 through the verses that deal with loving your enemies. And when I gave you that homework, this is what I said about those verses I wanted you to read. The next part of the Sermon on the Plain, the part about loving even your enemies, really takes up the matter of where the rubber hits the road in terms of loving in the Spirit of Jesus. If you do good to those who love you, what credit is that to you, Jesus says, for even sinners love those who love them. And when he says that, he's not berating us for our focus on loving those who love us. He's just pointing out that you don't get extra points for doing the easy thing when it comes to love and forgiveness. Don't self-congratulate because you have returned good for good. Stretch a little more than that. Risk a little more than that. Take love to the next level. Sound familiar? And I said to you, I think, that I would highly recommend reading and thinking about those verses about loving your enemies, and that it would be worth your while. So how many of you did your homework? Reading through the verses indicated for this morning, verses 27 through 38 of Luke chapter 6. Hands? You get an A, Joe Mason. Well, of course, earlier this week when I was working on this sermon, I didn't know how many of you would raise your hands, but I did know coming into worship this morning that at least one person not only did their homework, but turned it in early. Before he set off on a trip to Virginia this weekend, Bob Bowman sent me an email with the word homework in the subject line. And of course, Bob was going for extra credit because when I opened the email, I discovered that he didn't just read the scripture text, he prepared his own translation. I didn't expect any of you to do that, of course, but he did it because, well, when it comes to that sort of thing, I think he just can't help himself, for which I am, of course, grateful. Anyway, here's Bob Bowman's version of Luke 6, 27 to 38. But to you who are serious about listening to me, I will say, love your enemies, be good to those who hate you, praise those who badmouth you, pray for those who mistreat you. When one is slapping you on the face, offer the other side of your face. When one is taking the shirt from you, don't begrudge your coat. To all who are asking, be giving. And of those taking from you, do not be demanding. Behave to others the way you would want them to treat you. And if you are loving to those who love you, what credit is that to you? Even narcissists love those who love them. And if you do good to those who do good to you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners do that. And if you lend only when you are sure to be repaid, what credit is that to you? Stingy people even lend to stingy people when they can be amply repaid. Therefore, continue loving your enemies and doing good and lending without assurance of repayment, and your reward will be great, and you will be children of the Highest, who is kind to the ungrateful and to the evil. Be compassionate just as your Father is compassionate, and don't be judgmental, and you will be free from judgment. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. Give, and it will be given to you. Folks will pour a good measure, pressed down, shaken, and overflowing into your lap, because the measure you use will be the measure you receive. Now, as I read Bob's translation, immediately the first line caught my attention in a new and fresh way. The NRSV says, "But I say to you that, listen, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, pray for those who abuse you." But as I just said, Bob translates those verses, "But to you who are serious about listening to me, I will say, love your enemies, be good to those who hate you, praise those who badmouth you, pray for those who mistreat you." And it's not that the translations are very different, but when I read the NRSV, my habit is to focus on the first words in each phrase. "But to you I say that, listen, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who abuse you. When I read a different translation, it occurred to me to listen to the second half of the phrase, right? Love your enemies. Be good to those who hate you. Praise those who badmouth you. Pray for those who mistreat you. Sometimes it just takes a different version to turn our heads a little bit, to tune our ears a little bit differently. And I thought, okay, this isn't just Jesus giving us an instruction four times over to love our enemies. This is Jesus also giving us a definition of who our enemies are. Those who hate you, those who badmouth you, those who mistreat you. And I think that's helpful because if we're going to think about loving our enemies, we better be clear about just who we are talking about. And maybe such clarity can then help dissuade us from saying, this really doesn't apply to me because I don't have enemies. Because the truth is that although you may not have enemies in the extreme sense that there are people out there who are seeking to do physical harm to you, or who vigorously or aggressively oppose you or criticize you or struggle against you at every turn, the word enemies belongs to all of us. And it does include, as Bob's translation of that opening verse of this morning's text suggests, those who hate you, those who badmouth you, and those who mistreat you. And not only that, but if we're willing to make the definition of enemies a bit broader than that, we could include in the list those who are hostile to us, those who undercut us, our competitors, our opponents. With that broader and in some ways less intense scope of understanding, I think it's fair to say that we all have enemies. Those who are, if not actively against us, then certainly not for us. Okay, so we start with enemies and acknowledge that, broadly speaking, we all have them, and then we turn to love. Do we all have that? We all have enemies. Do we all have love? Do we all have the capacity and the conviction and the commitment to love broadly, to love even these enemies? Again, remember that Jesus is directing this teaching not to people in general, to a crowd that happens to be milling around, but he's directing it to his disciples, and so it's directed to us. Will you love only those who love you, or will you love those who hate you, or who badmouth you, or who mistreat you, or who disrespect you in public, slap your face, or who seek economic advantage over you, take your shirt, or who borrow from you with no intention of paying you back? Can you, will you love those people? If you're going to try to do that, my first thought is that it isn't going to be easy. My confession is that I don't want to love my enemy. I don't want to love those who hate me, who badmouth me, who mistreat me, who disrespect me in public, who seek economic advantage over me, who borrow from me with no intention of paying me back. I don't want to love those people. The truth, the naked emotional truth, is that I want to punish them. Or at the very least, I want someone else to punish them. I want them to stew in their own juices, to live with the consequences of their bad behavior, to get their comeuppance. I want them to learn their lesson. I want them to feel and perhaps even suffer at least some of the pain that they have caused me. And I'm not talking about this in theory. I'm talking about actual feelings. I have a situation right now in my life that has been going on all winter that keeps me from sleeping well at night. that makes me angry over and over. It involves some people whose behavior, whose decisions, whose actions seem to me to be so clearly, intentionally, and continually unfair and unkind. And toward those people who are involved in this particular situation, I find that I have continuing ill will. And I am not finding it in my heart to love these persons. And I feel justified in feeling that way. And at the same time, I feel disappointed in myself. Loving your enemy is a fine teaching in the ideal, in the abstract. It makes good spiritual sense, but in reality, it can feel impossible and unreasonable, and it looks like jumping into an abyss with nothing to catch you. Sometimes I tell you what I was thinking about months ago when I was sketching out ideas for a particular worship text. And months ago, this is the paragraph I wrote about this text. Loving the lovable is one thing. Loving the friend, the neighbor, the family member, the person who loves us back. Loving one's enemy is something else. It feels nearly impossible. Love your enemies, do good, and lend, expecting nothing in return. What courage and conviction such actions demand of us, but will acting in such a way lead us to a change of heart? Will we finally learn how to be generous without conditions attached? Will mercy flow out from us and then finally flow back to us? I find that especially now, as I struggle in a very particular way with that kind of love expectation from Jesus, the one who I want to follow, that those three questions I sketched out months ago are tumbling around in me in real time. Will loving our enemies, doing good, lending, expecting nothing in return, as Jesus teaches, lead us to a change of heart? Will we finally learn how to be generous without conditions attached? Will mercy flow out from us and then finally flow back to us? I suspect that it is no accident that Jesus follows words on loving your enemy with words on forgiveness. And I suspect that I can't find my way to love just by trying harder to do what I am supposed to do, to love who I am supposed to love. I can't work my way there. I suspect I have to release my way there. Bob tells me in his notes on this passage that in the verse where it says, forgive and you will be forgiven, verse 37, that in the Greek it means turn loose and you will be set free. For scripture translators, it's not exactly easy to translate that into English because it's not exactly clear what it is that needs to be turned loose. But nevertheless, there is something about release and freedom that is caught up in the idea of forgiveness. And there is something about forgiveness that is at the core of the idea of love. Until I let go of something, I am not going to be able to love those who are, in my opinion, in my experience, from my perspective, unlovable. I'm not going to be able to love those who have hurt me. I am not going to be able to love those who I do not want to love. So to get to the place of love, what is it that I need to release? What is it that you need to release? Do we need to let go of our assumptions about the motives of others? Do we need to let go of anger? Of disappointment? Of resentment for the ways in which someone else cost us the future that we imagined or hoped for? Do we need to release judgment or self-righteousness? Could be any of those things. It could be all of those things. But rest assured, something has to be released if there's going to be room for love. Last week, I told you about an essay from writer Brian Doyle titled The Final Frontier, in which he talked about the line from the Sermon on the Mount, "Blessed are the poor in spirit," and how humility is so basic to our spiritual orientation. You may remember this line from his essay, "All you can do is face the world with quiet grace and hope you make a sliver of difference." And I quoted from the end of the essay, "This is what I know, that the small is huge, that the tiny is vast, that pain is part and parcel of the gift of joy, and that there is love, and then there is everything else." Today, I want to expand that quote because it connects humility to love to release. "This is what I know," Doyle writes, "that the small is huge, that the tiny is vast, that pain is part and parcel of the gift of joy, and that there is love, and then there is everything else. You either walk toward love or away from it with every breath you draw." Humility is the road to love. Humility maybe is love. "That could be. I wouldn't know," he writes. "I am a muddle and a conundrum, shuffling slowly along the road, gaping in wonder, trying to just see and say what is, trying to leave shreds and shards of ego along the road like wisps of litter and chaff." You see it, right? The steps on this road. Seeing our enemies. Owning our feelings. Releasing our need to avenge ourselves or control the outcome. Giving up ego. Forgiving what's hurt us. Stepping in the direction of love. Having our hearts healed from the inside out. Jesus is not asking us to do the impossible or the unfair or the pointlessly painful. Jesus isn't making a demand. No, no, no. Jesus is offering us a way, a path toward healing. A path toward wholeness, a path paved with love, a bridge across the abyss. Will you take that path? "But love your enemies," Jesus tells us. "Do good and lend, expecting nothing in return. Your reward will be great, and you will be children of the Most High." Love is the only thing that will release you. Love is the only thing that will set you free. Amen.